under pressure, heaves it downfield, intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15, cuts right back to the 20, looking for a block up to the 30, and dragged down there.
Manning takes the snap, back to throw.
Sidearms one left sideline, and it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Golzien takes the snap.
Pass intercepted as he threw it right, picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul, and he runs it in for the touchdown. And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP, a 28-yard TD.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
All right, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino with you today, this afternoon, this morning, and throughout as we're live from the Giants facility for training camp. Paul Dottino.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good to see you.
So everybody had off yesterday, right?
That is true. And the guys will go back to practice today. Now, if you're coming in from the outskirts of the tri-state area, I understand there are scattered showers in the forecast for today. Pockets of rain have already passed by the facility. In fact, on my way in this morning, Anita, I don't know if you got them coming from your direction, but from my direction,
no,
I had a downpour.
I just got a ton of traffic is what I got.
I got you.
Yeah.
Well, I got a ton of rain is what I got. I even had to get the windshield wipers on high for 5 minutes as I was making my way down to the complex. And then when I finally got into the parking lot, it stopped.
God forbid.
Miraculously.
Paul Dottino's driving with his windshield wipers on high.
Yeah, well, you know, it happens sometimes. But anyway, the good news is that at the moment it has stopped. We will have practice here at the facility at 1:20 today. Goes to 3:30, so approximately 2 hours. Good news also is that it's a full padded practice.
Oh,
this will be the third.
You gotta love those.
Full padded practice,
right,
of the training camp. Absolutely, because that's when the most hitting goes on.
Uh-huh.
And it's the most realistic compared to what the guys are going to do in the preseason game against Buffalo on Sunday. But the only bad news is if that rain does come back, or if there's lightning or thunder,
they're
Anita,
they're going to take it inside.
Yeah, coach is going to have to go inside.
Yeah.
So, folks, stay tuned to Giants.com. You know, click on the Twitter, Giants at Twitter page, because undoubtedly we will have updates there for you and try to get it to you as soon as possible once coach makes a decision.
Again, Anita Marks, Paul Dottino in today for Big Blue Kickoff Live, taking your calls as well, 201-939-4513. Again, 201-939-4513.
Your mic seems a little low to me, does it?
Yeah, it is.
I'm
sitting here trying to play with it. But
I'm not sure why.
Okay.
Okay.
Big Sunday football coming up, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because July has come and gone.
I know you're pumped because of the whole Strahan and the Canton. And
got to be.
Right.
Got to be. 92. But, you know, it's funny. July really came and gone and it, like a thunderbolt. I mean, it just whisked away. And now here we are, August 3rd, Sunday, Buffalo Bills, New York Giants. Interested to see who's going to play and how much. Coach Coughlin may let us know some of that today, or maybe he'll hold that information till tomorrow. I don't know. The only thing we do know is that the guys who are either hurt or limited to this point are probably not going to play.
Right. So we can anticipate no Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah,
right?
I wouldn't think you're not going to see Beeson. You're not
right.
going to see Beattie, I don't think. You're not going to see David Wilson. The news came out yesterday that David is shut down, at least until Monday, when he goes to see his next specialist for a further tests and exams. So, I think those guys, and maybe even Manningham, who has been, still shaking off rust. I'm not sure if he plays, how much he does. Other than that, I think everybody else is pretty much a go.
Again, 201-939-4513. Paul, probably the biggest thing I'm looking most forward to, and I can't even believe I'm saying that because we're talking about preseason games, and I just can't stand preseason games, but this year probably more so than ever, I think preseason games are going to be even that much more important and that much more, I don't want to be entertaining, but informative for Giants fans to really get a good grip on this new offense. So, again, I'm not a big fan of preseason games, but probably more so than any years in the past, I'm really interested in these preseason games for the Giants because we're really going to get, a better taste, a better understanding of the new offense that Ben McAdoo has implemented here.
Yeah, I agree with you, Anita. However, I would also warn you this, and I've warned the fans this the other day when I was on with Mike Francesa. The bar has got to be low right now with this offense. Don't expect the Giants to come out on Sunday against the Bills and light it up for 35 points.
Oh, no, that's not what I'm saying.
No, I know what you're saying, okay. but I think there are some fans out there who automatically believe that just because McAdoo's here and the new offense is in place – that the Giants are going to be immediately explosive. It's all going to turn around, and it's all going to be, you know, cream and strawberries and roses. But that's not the deal. What's going to happen is this preseason, the Giants are going to be feeling their way much like a boxer does in the first round of a heavyweight championship fight. And it is going to be ugly on offense, I think, for at least the first three, maybe even the entire preseason, as they try to pick and choose what they think they may want to use during the regular season. So, yes, you're right, Anita. We're going to learn a lot about some players. We're going to learn a lot about some of the schemes this offense is going to run. But I suspect the execution is going to be very sporadic. And so don't look for an immediate change in terms of an explosive style of offense with big time points. That's not going to happen until maybe even a couple of games into the regular season.
201-939-4513. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino. Let's start with our calls. We go to David calling in from the Bronx. David, welcome.
Hey, Paul and Anita.
Hi.
How you doing? One thing I'm going to, Paul, because I know you'll remember. Okay. One of the Giants plays that was very good that passed away, Doug Kotov.
Running back, number 44.
Yes, indeed. He was, I mean, he gave you everything he had.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Undersized guy, didn't have power, didn't have speed, but he had smarts, he had guts, he had good hands. And quite frankly, he's a coach's player. You know, they love guys like that who overachieve.
Yeah, the main thing he had was effort.
Yeah.
He kept trying and trying and trying.
And he ran behind some pretty bad O-lines, too, that got him battered and beaten more often than not.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. The next thing I want to talk about is, as always, my man Mark is cool, and I like to know where Herman is doing in training camp.
Okay, well, why don't I go with Herman? Maybe Anita wants to talk about Marcus. I know she's always been a fan of him since he got here. Eric Herman right now is running with the third-team offense at right guard. They've been running Weston Richburg, the rookie, at center and at right guard. They've also been running Brandon Mosley at right guard. And then behind those guys, you know, John Jerry's been a little bit slow coming along since he had the offseason knee surgery, and Eric Herman is in that mix, behind all of those fellas. So that's really where that stands. There's nothing that's been really outstanding about the second or third team offensive lines to this point. We're anxious to see them in games. As far as Kuhn is concerned, Anita, I can't say enough about this guy. High motor, and he is really coming to this camp with a purpose. You know, Marcus understands. He's part of this defensive tackle rotation this year, and he's got to step up, and he's ready for it.
Let's touch on this for a second, because there was some rumblings that they might consider moving Marcus from the defensive line to the offensive line. And when Chris Snee announced his retirement, I thought maybe more so that would have been an option. Not that they're going to do that. We're not seeing that. We're not hearing that. It was just rumblings. But, I mean, how difficult would have been, and what type of offensive lineman do you think Marcus Kuhn could make?
Well,
like if they, let's say, down the road, they do kind of try to make a project or an experiment.
They toyed with the thought at the end of last season and in the early offseason about potentially working him at guard. Not center, not tackle, but guard. And they pretty much scrapped that once they wound up with the – even though Snee was kind of in limbo there. You're right, Anita. That was all part of it. But they wound up picking up Jerry. They think Mosley's going to be able to show them something this year. And then they got Richburg in the draft. So then they didn't have to worry about trying to add extra bodies to that O-line. I just think that Marcus Kuhn, to me, is a big, strong, high-motor guy who's eager to learn, does everything the coach asks him to do. He's just a good guy to have on your team. The problem with him is that he's had so little football experience before coming to the Giants that he really needed a lot of snaps to acclimate himself to the game. And he lost last year because of that knee injury. And so, you know, he's so far behind, but just based on his eagerness and willingness to learn and his strength and speed, you got to feel he's going to be able to give them something this year as a DT. I can't say enough about his attitude. He's a really, really good guy, and I know a lot of the players really like him a lot, too.
Oh, absolutely. And last show I was on with Lance, we kind of shared his story, how he was here vacationing with his family and saw American football on television, went back to Germany and told his dad he wanted to play football, started playing football, and then him and his father took a tour up and down the East Coast, and stopping off at a number of colleges, and NC State ended up giving him a scholarship. I mean, it's such a great story.
No doubt.
And his passion, his love for football, and you can definitely still see it today.
Well, I think the thing about him more than anything else is that he's got very impressive tools. So no matter how much you want to play, if you don't have the tools, you're not going to play. He's got the tools. It's a shame that nobody schooled him in high school, that he didn't have an opportunity to learn the game earlier. Because when you look at him, he's a beast, Anita. He's a big, big man.
Oh, yeah.
And he could do a lot of hurting to a lot of offensive players. So I'm anxious to see him get into that rotation.
So I had a chance to talk to a number of the defensive linemen on Tuesday. And I posed the question, you know, how difficult is it? You know, obviously quarterbacks are wearing red jerseys. You're not allowed to tackle them.
Wearing red today, too.
You're not allowed to even breathe on them. How frustrating is that for you? And so, they said, well, you know, it's Eli. We know how important Eli is to the team. They said the politically correct thing. But you know they're just itching to get at the quarterback. What are you anticipating for this defensive line? How good do you think this defensive line is going to be? No Tuck, we know that. What are your expectations for the season, Paul?
Well, you know, they really hinge on two things. The return of JPP to form, which to this point looks like there's some optimism there. He lost some weight. He looks very quick. He seems to have his attitude square on the tip of the nail. I mean, he seems to be focused and wanting to have a, quote, JPP kind of season. So that has to happen because I believe, Anita, that the Giants will need 45 sacks as a team to be a playoff contender. You can't go in there with 30 sacks. Last year they had 34 sacks. We saw how paltry that pass rush was. You need about 45 sacks as a team to be legit. So if JPP can give them, look, I don't know if he's going to give them 16 again, but let's say he gives them 13, 12 to 13. That would be a heck of a start. Damontre Moore needs to really show in his second season that he's maturing and he's prepared to put up some numbers. We talked about him when they drafted him. He's a double-digit sack guy. The tools are there. The skills are there. This is all about learning how to become a pro, learning how to mature, getting his work ethic down, becoming very smart on the field. Damontre Moore is the kind of guy who could get 8 sacks this year. Easy. If he's focused and has it going.
8.
He's got the tools.
Okay.
You know he does. Got the tools. It's all about using them. So those two guys, to me, are the biggest key because I think the defensive tackles, to me, are solid against the run. I have no problem with Cullen Jenkins. I think Marcus Kuhn we've talked about. Mike Patterson's pretty good against the run. In fact, he's better than pretty good. He had a nice year last year. And, of course, you know, Jonathan Hankins is back for a second season. We had a lot of optimism about him last year. So I'm good with the tackles. It's the ends. You know what Kiwi is. You know what Ayers is. But what is Moore? What is JPP? Those are the two X factors.
Based on what you've seen so far at a JPP here at camp.
It looks good, but shorts and shorts.
Right.
I mean, let's get after it, man.
Kick
it off on Sunday.
What has he said about his back? If he was to give a percentage of how healthy he is, what percentage do you think that would be, Paul?
He had a great line for us, Anita. The other day we were talking to him, and somebody said, you know, you feel 100%? He goes, I feel 110%. And somebody said, well, where'd the extra 10% come from? He said, it's in my mind.
Oh, that's great. I got to remember that one. 201-939-4513. You're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino. Let's go out to Matthew. Matthew, welcome.
What do you rank the Giants' defensive backs?
Rate the Giants' defensive backs?
Yeah.
Rate them?
Yeah.
Well, out of
all 32 teams in the NFL, where do you think the Giants' secondary is going to be ranked this season?
I'm going to say they could be as high as top five, Anita. I may be reaching a tad, but...
I don't think so.
I think top five. I mean, look, DRC's gone to the Pro Bowl before, so has Roll. Stevie Brown, a couple of years ago, an interception leader. Prince Amukamara just continues to get better and better. Last year, to me, he proved he's a bona fide, very good starter in this league. And maybe this year, he'll even be better than that. Maybe he'll be even excellent. So why not?
Also, I want to keep you in mind, we're monitoring Twitter throughout the show. So if you have a question or comment, make sure you hit us up on Twitter. And you can find us, of course, at Giants. Yeah.
Console problems with the telephone.
There we go.
Okay.
Fantastic. You can find us at Giants. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants chat, and we will share your tweets with everybody on the show. 201-939-4513. Prince Amukamara, is there a battle for his corner position?
Well, you know what's interesting, Anita? We all assumed that he would be the guy to cover the number one receiver once the season ended last year. This was his natural ascension. And, of course, the Giants did pick up his option and gave him the boost in salary. And then they go and sign Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie. And it's like, okay, wow. Now they really kind of have two number ones. And as soon as they signed him, the Giants organization said, DRC is going to cover the number one receiver. I think if I'm Perry Fuel, you know what? Maybe on occasion you do. I'm playing them straight up. I think these guys are both very good players.
That's not what I'm saying. Do you think he starts a corner? Do you think that there's somebody who's on this roster who's going to challenge Prince?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay.
Prince and DRC are going to be your starting corners, but I'm really curious to see if Perry does go with DRC as the one, as they communicated to us during the offseason, or if they play him straight up. I think they can play straight up. I'm not afraid of putting Prince on a number one. He showed last year he could do it.
Right.
So why would I fuss with that and put DRC on the one? I'd play him straight up, left and right. And if in a particular matchup you think that DRC really does work with somebody better, okay, maybe sometimes you change it up a little bit. But why not just play him left and right?
How physical do you think they're going to be?
I think they're going to be a lot more physical. I mean, look at the size of these DBs now. DRC's a six-footer. Prince is a six-footer. They've got some bulk on them. We know Prince gained about 10 pounds last year. And
right.
And he got more physical and
right,
looked
right,
good
right.
doing it. We know Roll's physical. Stevie Brown, coming off of the year with the Achilles, looks like he's doing okay. That's cool. Quentin Demps, they signed to be the third safety. He's like a linebacker the way he's built. So he's going to be more physical. Walter Thurmond learned the physicality of the Seahawks playing in the slot. He's going to be more physical. Anita, every one of their DBs is going to be more physical.
Again, 201-939-4513. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino talking some Giants defense. Let's go to the Bronx. Wes, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, Paulie D and Anita Marks? How you doing?
Great.
I got a question. Not so much of a question. I'm calling from yesterday's topic when Schmuck and Lennon there was talking about Eli Manning. They're trying to get him up to a 70% total. I'm thinking that they're trying to progress him into getting for him to completing 70% of his passes
right.
gradually, not all in one shot. What do you guys think about that?
Thank you for the phone call.
Well, you know, Anita, I think that the number's a bit high.
I don't. Not in this offense.
I'm going to say that he's going to complete about 64% of his passes this year. I don't think he's going to be quite as high as they're shooting for, but I think that you can shoot for that, and then if you come a little bit short, it's still okay. He's only at 59% for his career, and I don't believe he's ever gone higher than 63. So I'm going to say he's going to set his career high. I just don't know if he's going to be able to get up to 70, because that also requires the receivers also making sure they do what they need to do. And I'm still not sure how that's going to work.
But in the past, it was a lot more difficult for Eli Manning to be on the same page with a number of the wide receivers
exactly.
on this roster. So this offense is totally different. Wide receivers will go to the line of scrimmage, know exactly what route they're running. Eli will know exactly where they're going to be. It's going to be a dink and dunk offense. There's going to be less error for miscommunication. I don't see. I guess what I'm saying is it high? Yes. I guess you could say yes. It's a high number. Nothing wrong with trying to strive, right?
Agreed.
For that.
Agreed.
And put a high goal up there. But I think it's attainable. I don't think it's impossible for him to attain.
Drew Brees has done it twice in his career. So it's not impossible, I grant you, especially with the style of this offense. But I would ask you this, Anita. What number do you think he's got to be at for the Giants to have a good season and for Eli to lead them into the playoffs? I'm thinking that mid-60s would get it done.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think that's why they're giving themselves a little
but
room.
I'd say 70 gets them in the playoffs. Even past the first or second round of the playoffs.
I think the higher you go, obviously, the better off they're going
to be. Assuming the defense does their part on the opposite side of the ball.
Yeah.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Shakes, calling in from Baltimore. Shakes, welcome. Big Blue Kickoff Live.
What's up, Anita Marks? What's up, P-Dot?
Hey, Shakes.
Man, I tried to call in yesterday. I couldn't even get through. I don't know what was up with that. I thought I was banned or something. What's going on with y'all, though?
Well, you know, we're hoping that the showers will clear up, and excuse me, we're going to be able to have practice outside today because we want to watch it outside. We don't want to be in the field house, Shakes.
Yeah, I feel that.
Okay.
I feel that.
What you got for us today?
I wanted to speak on Devontae Moore because you said 8 sacks, and that was something that I said on my show yesterday, too. I agree with you. I really think it's going to be 8 sacks. I really have high hopes for Devontae Moore, which a lot of people are not talking about, but he – and reports that I'm hearing, he's stepping up in the run part of the game. His run game, stuffing the run, he is stepping up in that area. And I heard that Michael Strahan and Tuck really talked to him in the offseason and told him, man, you need to step it up. You the next. So you got to step it up, man.
Well, he has had conversations with those guys. And, you know, last year I thought he would get 6 as a rookie. I thought his skill set was that good. But because of various reasons, injuries, and rookie immaturity, it never happened, Shakes. I think the good news is, and Anita asked me this before when she asked me about the line, the Giants have these 4 defensive ends in this rotation that they can utilize. You got the 2 guys who are really good pass rushers in Moore and JPP. That's their skill set. Then you got Kiwanuka and Ayers who are more stay-at-home defensive ends, if nothing else. I think if you had to, you know, categorize where these guys lie. That bodes well to me because they can mix and match and rotate and match up guys and let them play to their strengts. And I think if DeMontre Moore is in the right situations and just tries to keep people a bit honest against the run, I think they're going to put him in positions to get after the QB, and he could get 8 sacks. I don't think that's totally out of line, kind of like what you said to me about Eli's 70%. It's a little high, but I don't think it's, like, impossible to do. Just a thought.
I get it. 2 things I wanted to just say. Kiwi, I think Kiwi's going to have a bounce-back season. He might get close to double-digit sacks.
Well, remember, he's had eight is his career high, Shakes. 8 is his career high. So I don't know if you're ever going to see double-digit sacks out of Kiwi. I just don't see that happening.
You might. He had 6 last year, and we consider that, like, a bum year for him. How he played, so, and having 6, he might get double digits, like my man Charlie said. He might.
I think double digits is just too high for him. I just don't see it.
We'll see.
All right, Shakes.
I just wanted to say one last thing.
Quickly.
Before I go off, I'm going to just ask y'all a question, and I'm going to go off. I asked this question to my co-host yesterday, Michael Strahan, with the Hall of Fame game coming up. What is y'all Michael Strahan favorite moment? And I'm off. Thank y'all for taking my call.
Thanks so much. Wow. You know what's funny?
I'll leave this for you.
Well, I'm going to just make it real simple. I'm not even going to go to a play. I'm going to go to him screaming at the offensive line on the sidelines with confidence at the end of Super Bowl 42 when they're about to go back out onto the field how the Giants are going to win the game. Giving them the final score and telling them it will be done. That, to me, that's Michael Strahan. I don't even want to talk about a play. I want to talk about Michael Strahan as a leader, as a character guy, as a captain. as the kind of guy who did everything he could to drag his team to victory. And when he gave that pep talk, so to speak, at the end of Super Bowl 42 to the offense as they went out onto the field for what turned out to be the game-winning drive, that's Michael Strahan. That's the guy I know.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Joe in Louisiana. Joe, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Yeah, there's some, excuse me, there's something about those A&M players that are so immature. Johnny Football, immaturity. Martellus Bennett and his brother, very immature. DeMontre Moore, you all just said something about, it's something about those guys coming out of Texas A&M. That kid that's the receiver that's playing for Tampa.
Mike Evans?
Yeah, now he's probably the only one that shows some maturity, but there's something about those kids, those cats coming out of Texas A&M. I mean, it's a good program, but those kids are very immature.
Well, I don't know enough about the A&M program to say that, but you've certainly listed a few guys of recent vintage who have had, shall we say, entertainment aspects.
Yeah, but I mean,
to their careers.
I mean, let's throw this in here, and that is, has DeMontre Moore ever been in trouble? I don't. He just.
We're not talking about trouble. We're okay. Just talking about immaturity.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? He's just. I don't. He's a character. He's a clown. He's a
yeah.
comedian. He's a clown. He likes to joke around. He likes to. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you look at that and say.
But Anita, there's a time to play. You're not in high school. This is not high school football. This is pros.
You know what I would say, and I don't want to slam Texas A&M. Anita, I think it's fair to say that there are some guys when they come out of a program, like for example, Andre Williams coming out of BC, he gets it. He's pro ready. He gets it. He walks onto this campus. He's ready to be a pro. He's ready to earn that check.
Right.
And he's ready to take it seriously.
Right.
Some guys, like DeMontre Moore, and this is not bad mouthing him. But comes in, hey, wow, look at this. It's the NFL. This is fun. Cool, man. And he's having a little bit more of a good time than necessarily an Andre Williams would be, because Williams is like, this is my job. I'm getting it right now. I think that's what we're talking
but
about.
But do you place that on a program, or do you just place that on upbringing?
No,
it could be on a program, too. Sometimes it's on the individual. Sometimes it's on the program he was at. Sometimes, you know, there are various reasons why. Look, you like to talk about the U all the time. You knew when you drafted a guy from the U, you knew what you were getting back in the day.
Okay, that's fair.
Right?
That's the same thing with Penn State. That's a linebacker U. Everybody knows when you get a linebacker out of Penn State, you pretty much got to get linebacker. I mean, and it gets to the point in Baylor. You get a receiver out of Baylor, you know you got a receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's the thing with I don't know, man. You know, this is not high school. You know, you have fun in high school. You have fun in college. But these organizations got millions invested in you. This is your job. You don't have time to be the AKA black unicorn. We don't have time to be, you know. It's okay to have fun. But there's a time and a place to do that.
Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
201-939-4513. Anita Marks, Paul DiTino. It's 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Going to be with you for another 30 minutes. You want to hop on board, talk some Big Blue Giants training camp. Weather conditions not great here today. There's a possibility that they might have to practice inside. Players will be made available a little bit after 11 a.m. We'll be talking to them. Make sure you stay tuned to Giants.com. When those interviews will be posted, as the guys are really pumped up and getting ready for their first preseason game that's going to be taking place up there in Canton.
Full pads today.
And Paul's excited that the guys are in full pads today. So am I. Also, we are monitoring Twitter throughout the show. So if you've got a question or comment, by all means, please hit us up on Twitter. Make sure you include that hashtag GiantsChat. Here's one from Des, wants to know, how is Randall, of course he's talking about Reuben Randall, will he practice today?
A bit of a sore hamstring on Tuesday, so they sat him out. It's the first indication we've had all
What's
summer.
What's up with the receivers and hamstrings? Damn!
Yeah, I know. It's annoying. In any event, it's the first time we've heard of any malady for Reuben Randall all summer.
Right.
So do I think he'll practice today? My guess is as good as yours. I really don't know. But I will say this. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't, don't expect them to see him on Sunday. I mean, why is Tom going to push it? You know, he's got five preseason games to go. He's already dealing with Beckham's hamstring. No reason to get another receiver, you know, back on the trainer's table. So if they need to rest him another day or two, they're probably better off doing it.
Now, let's talk about this receiving corps. As we know, unfortunately, Odell Beckham Jr. is dealing with a hamstring. We just talked about Reuben Randall. Mario Manningham, I know that he spoke to the media but earlier this week, right, about his knee?
Yes.
What did he communicate? There's thoughts that he might not even make this roster because his knee hasn't recovered the way that most expected, right?
Yeah, there are some folks who think that. I'm not in that grouping. I think he will make it, but I do believe that we do need to see more out of him. He's got some rust, and he knows it. In the last 2 years, he's played a combined total of 18 games with the 49ers because of two knee injuries. The Giants figured that he'd be able to work at the start of training camp, and that's exactly what happened. He was not on PUP. He got out there and he did things. He is, however, a bit limited. You could see it when he's running his routes. When he pushes off of his left leg and plants, he looks like Mario Manningham. When he does it off of his right leg, which is where the knee problem was, he's still not doing it with assertiveness or with a sharpness to his cuts. And he says that's because the strength is not quite back yet, and he's also not got the confidence to push off yet.
Paul, it's been 2 years.
Well,
is it because there was microfracture involved here as well?
I don't know specifically what the procedures were, Anita. I'm remiss in not knowing that. But what I can tell you is that based on the off-season program that they gave him when they brought him back to the Giants, they told him that we think you're going to be, you know, ready for some time in training camp, and we think you're going to be ready to play in at least two preseason games. So we've got five here. So to me, if you don't see him on the field or him being close enough to being ready by August 22nd against the Jets, that's a warning sign that maybe his knee is not coming along well enough. Until that Jets preseason game, though, I'm giving him some leeway because he tells me that he's getting better, but he's just not there. So, you know, that's look, if he gets two games, don't you think that's enough?
We're going to get to the calls in a quick second, guys. So Chris and Marco, hang tight. 201-939-4513. But real quick, since we have five preseason games,
right,
Paul, what's the one? Is the Jets game still going to be the game where we see the starters play three quarters, or will that be the Colts game?
That is a really good question. Tom
and that's
Coughlin,
why I get paid the small
I know.
Bucks.
Well,
but yeah, I think it is a really good question because fans, of course, want to see that one game, right? That the starters are going to play the full three quarters.
Yeah, and you know, I've been getting questioned already earlier this week on Twitter about how many reps will the starters get in the Bills game because, as you know, in the first preseason game, it's sometimes just a dozen. I bet you, and I don't know this, Tom said he has an idea, but he wouldn't tell us the other day. I bet you 20 snaps in the Bills game on Sunday for the starters. They're not going to get 12.
Okay, but that wasn't my question. So we don't know. We don't know if it's going to be
don't
the Colts
know.
Game
we
or
don't
the Jets
know.
Game.
I'm taking a guess. You want me to take a guess? I'm going to take a guess. 20 against the Bills. As many as the first half against the Steelers, I think. I'm going to say minimum first half against the Colts, maybe into the third quarter. And then I'm going to say he increases them, maybe 10 to 15 snaps each game till they get to the Jets game, gives them all three quarters. That's what I would do, and
right.
That's what I'm thinking. And then, of course, the Patriots game,
okay.
I bet they get a quarter.
Again, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Chris in Houston, who's calling in. Chris, welcome.
Hi, good morning, Anita and Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. Just a couple real quick points. One with the previous call that was talking about A&M. I'm about an hour away from the campus, and I have to preface it by saying I'm not an Aggie. I actually went to Tennessee when Peyton Manning was there, so... but I don't, it's not a program situation. They have a very good, actually they have an outstanding program. Their network is second to none. It's probably the largest network outside of the United States military. They do a good job there. I just think it's a situation where it's a young man, just not as mature, like you were saying earlier, Anita. So I don't think it's a program thing. it's an individual basis, but you know, Sumlin runs a little bit looser ship than Sherman did, but it's a hell of a program.
I will say this: I can't remember the last Texas A&M guy the Giants had on their roster other than Marcus Buckley, which goes back to the Dan Reeves era. There may have been another guy, you know, passed through here at one time since, but I can't recall one off the top of my head. It's not a school the Giants have really gone to draft players.
Now, I could see them going to that school moving forward like they did last year, because moving into the SEC, they really took a bite out of the influence that the University of Texas has. They always played second fiddle to them.
Mm-hmm.
But their initial year in the SEC, and then this past year, which wasn't as bad, there's a lot of good things. And if you look at their website, the stadium that they're renovating,
right,
it's out of control. I mean, it's really going to be neat. But you know, and the other point that I was going to make, speaking with about the maturity, you look at the direction that Jerry Reese and the organization took with this year's draft, drafting more people with leadership capabilities, and that's what I feel is so refreshing. And I look at Devon Kennard and the things that I've been reading and watching here on the internet down here. It's very refreshing to see something like that, and I like that strategy going with some leaders. Just the video alone had me excited yesterday watching the training camp live, watching you on that. So I think we're going to be okay. I'm really excited.
Hey, thank you for the phone call, Chris. Appreciate it. Appreciate you listening in Houston. Let's go to – do you want to make a –
Well,
comment?
I want to ask you something.
Uh-oh.
Because, well, you're the insider. You get to do the lengthy interview spots with the players.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many of the rookies you've talked to so far. But it is really apparent, and we talked about it when they drafted these guys, but it's even more apparent now since they're starting to work. These guys get it. This is a good group of rookies.
Absolutely.
Leadership skills, maturity, all those things that we talked about before, about sometimes they bring it in, sometimes they don't. These guys do, and you must have seen that, even first impression.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Hands down. Very mature, totally gets it, totally understands it, understands the culture here. Fits into the culture here. I mean, it is evident that Jerry Reese character is a big factor in drafting these guys. That is totally evident.
Yeah.
When you go across the board, especially this draft class.
Williams and Kennard to me really exemplify it more than any of the other guys. Not that they don't.
Richburg.
Yeah, you're right. Let me take that back. I don't want to slight him. Those three guys, even more than the others, but the whole class shows that they're serious about this, and they want to win now. They want to play right away.
Character is a big factor
in
how Jerry Reese drafts, no doubt. Let's go to Connecticut. Marco is joining us. Marco, you're on with Paul Dottino and Anita Marks. How are you doing this afternoon? Or this morning, I should say.
Still.
Hey, Anita and Paul, I'm doing great. I hope you're doing the same.
Sure.
Paul, I was just listening. I think Dan Campbell, tight end, was out of A&M.
Yeah,
as well.
Absolutely was.
I
you guys got the media guide, thumb through it, you'll start pulling names out of there for me.
Yeah.
But just off the top of my head, it was hard for me to come up with somebody. But, yeah, Dan Campbell was, Marcus Buckley was. I still stand by the fact that they haven't gone to that school very often, though.
No, I agree. It's few and far between. Campbell was he stuck out to me. He was one of my favorites. What a tough blocking tight end he was.
Yeah. Wish they had him today.
Yeah, absolutely. Couple things. Yeah, Anita, I agree with what you're saying. I've seen this in the last couple of years with Jerry and the type of players they're bringing in. I just listening to them in interviews, they sound sharp. You know, after the draft, you hear about what type of resume they have. Their captains on their team. They're spoken very highly from their coaches. So, you know, where we see these big issues, character issues happen around the league, I think something that Tom and Jerry are saying that they don't want to go down that way. And they'll take their gambles like they did with Will Hill, and they've done it before with Bradshaw and some of these guys. But, you know, that's just something that I've caught on to. And, you know, Chris Knee retired last week. And it's something he said in one of the media interviews that really stuck out to me, is he said, you know, the quicker that you could realize that this is your job, the faster you're going to adapt to the NFL.
Well, it's a great point. Quite honestly, guys like that who are holdovers from the previous era, if I can say that, the Michael Strahan era, many of those guys learned that by listening to Michael as well.
Yeah, I agree. So I wanted to ask you about David Wilson. I think we'll see. You know, the Giants released that, and then yesterday Wilson came out, and he's always so upbeat and excited, but he tweets out that, you know, everything's going to be fine, guys. I'll be back. It's just a little precautionary. And then this morning I read something that totally goes against what Wilson says. I'm worried about this, and I called in yesterday, and now I'm thinking if this is something that can linger all through camp where they might want to rest him, does Wilson actually become like a PUP candidate? And how that alters...
He can't be. He can't be. PUP, you can't practice at all during training camp and then go PUP. So it's too late. He's already been on the practice field.
So it's either he's on the roster or he's season-ending. Is that correct?
He's either on the roster or he gets waived injured or he gets cut or he goes to injured reserve. I mean, those are your options.
Injured reserve with an opportunity to come back, too.
Well, that always is one of those options.
How many slots do they have? One or two for that?
You get one. One for temporary injury reserve. But, again, I also believe that you can't do that before the season opener. You have to wait till after the season opener, if I'm not mistaken. I got to brush up on that rule. Remember, last year was the first year it was implemented. Look, I'm just going to say this, and we appreciate the call. I'm just going to say this to you. David Wilson is always optimistic about everything. He was on the verge of denial last year when he injured his neck, and they told him that he couldn't play and that this was very serious. He continued to show you things on his social media accounts, doing backflips, doing sprints, doing all kinds of superhuman things because he wanted to show the world that he felt no pain, he thought he could play, and nothing was going to stop him. He then got here to the off-season program and said, look, it's just the picture. The doctors are looking at the picture of my neck, and the picture's what's keeping me off the field. I'm telling you, I'm great. I'm fine. That's his mentality. It's 250 miles an hour, full speed ahead. Nothing is wrong with me. He truly, truly believes that. And I understand why he wants to believe that. But the reality sometimes is different than what the fantasy is. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know exactly what's going on with David Wilson's neck. But I'll say this to you. The doctors know a heck of a lot better than I do and better than David Wilson does. And whatever is decided by the medical staff, that will dictate how the Giants proceed. Case closed. There's really nothing else to talk about.
I'm crossing my fingers. I don't feel as optimistic as I would because I agree with you, Paul, on that end. I'm gonna hang up, guys. Paul, I wanted to hear what you told me earlier before camp started. A player you were looking at was the wide receiver, Washington, and I'd like to know if I haven't heard his name at all mentioned. I wanted to know what you've seen, what you're hearing, and does he have an opportunity to do anything?
I'm still intrigued, and I'm looking forward to the preseason games to see if he does anything there because he's kind of been under the radar during training camp. Does all the right things. I don't see him screwing up. I also haven't seen him do anything spectacular. I need to see some preseason games, but my binoculars are still out on him.
All right. Hey, you guys take care. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. You know, Paul, in regard to David Wilson, you know, and this is something that we've talked about on the show before, and the seriousness of this injury. Listen, it's David Wilson's decision to continue to play football. But if a doctor was to say to me, if I was rear-ended in a car, that there'd be a chance that I'd be paralyzed, I would really consider not playing football any longer. I know that this is his passion. I know this is his love. I know this is where his heart is. I know this is what he wants to do. I get all that. But I'm as a fan, I'm taking my broadcasting hat off. As a fan, I'm worried about the young man. I'm truly worried. I'm truly concerned.
It was written all over Tom Coughlin's face the other day, too. Tom Coughlin is concerned about this kid's well-being too.
Right.
He doesn't want to see him carried off the field.
Who does? And he's young. He's got his whole life. I you know how much I love this game, and you know how much I love this sport, and you know how much I love playing the sport.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if I would risk that. You know, I mean, I hope fans, like, you know, realize the seriousness of this situation, and that he's deciding that he wants to continue to play. And yes, granted, I get it. Every time an athlete steps on a football field, there's that risk that something's going to happen and they're going to be paralyzed. I get it. You know, but when you have this type of situation and you're still wanting to step on the football field and you're still wanting to continue and play, I my heart goes out to him. Like, I have a lot of respect for him. I pray to God that, you know, he will be healthy.
You know, Anita, I remember talking to Dominic Hickson a couple of years ago after his second ACL and saying to him, you know, Dominic, I think the toughest part for fans is that many of them don't realize you guys are human beings. You're flesh and blood, your bones, your ligaments. You're not video game players. And I, honestly, that's about the best way I can put it. These guys are not video game players. They bleed. They hurt. They break. And sometimes it's difficult for a fan to understand that and what a player really has to go through. We see it because we know what happens to these players each and every day. We're around practice. We're in the locker room. We see that they hurt. That stuff is all real. And I just hope for the best for David Wilson, regardless of how this turns out.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, you're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live. We're also monitoring Twitter throughout the show, so if you've got a question or a comment, please feel free to hit us up on Twitter. You can find us at Giants. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat. We will share your tweet on the show. So about 10 minutes left, Paul, and this is kind of your and my last opportunity to kind of talk about preseason game number one against the Bills. Mind you, it'll be on NBC, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, the Hall of Fame game on Sunday. Hope everybody will be tuning in. What are you looking for based on the battles that are taking place here, based on the storylines that we've been talking about now for 2 weeks? What's Paul Dottino going to be focusing in
on? Wow. You know the problem
with
asking
me
that?
Give us the list.
Well, you know what? It's a kaleidoscope of things, and that's the problem, Anita. I'm going to be scattershooting looking for a billion things. Good thing.
All right, let's start with the offense. What are you going to be paying attention to when the Giants offense is on the field?
Well, clearly you've got to look at that offensive line first and foremost, because we really still don't know what's going to happen at left tackle. I don't think Will Beatty's going to play in the game on Sunday. Let me just say that's my opinion. Nothing the Giants have said indicates that, other than they're bringing him along slowly. So I don't think he plays. So who's the left tackle on Sunday night? Is it Charles Brown? Is it James Brewer? Brown's been running with the second team as the left tackle, so I would assume he's going to be the guy. So I'll definitely be watching that. I'll be watching whenever Richburg gets in, how well he does. I'll be looking at Eli and his assertiveness with the receivers to see if they're on the same page. Do we see guys running the wrong routes? Do we see miscommunications between those guys? Those are the things I'll be looking for on offense. On defense, you know what? I guess I'll just be looking at the line as well. I'll be looking at the pass rush and the DTs to see if everything that I believe about those guys is holding true. Because I think I know what the linebackers are. I think I know what the secondary is. On specials, I'm real curious to see what they do with the return game. You know, Quentin Demps comes here with a resume for being a great kickoff returner. Trenton Holiday comes in with a resume of being a terrific punt returner, but Holiday's had a hammy now the last several days, and I think that's an issue. So who gets to return, and how well do they do it? That's something I'll be looking at. And I'll tell you something else. There's one other thing that I'm going to be looking at on the field, and then I want to get to one thing off the field that I will be looking at. I will also be looking at the Giants' special teams coverage units, because I believe, Anita, that field position is so underrated by so many fans, because let's face it, and I don't mean to knock anybody, but fantasy football folks, they look at the individual stats, they look at the team offense, the team defense. Nobody ever talks about field position and where the drives start. And I think you and I know enough to have watched the Giants last year and known that the field was tilted so many times. I know they weren't a very good team last year. But when your field position is constantly being tilted in the other team's direction, it really causes you to be handicapped. And the Giants need to be able to tilt that field to help out this new offense, et cetera.
Lance and I actually talked about that on Tuesday. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at that too. Now, off the field, I am looking for one other thing. Jim Kelly's going to be there. He's going to captain the Bills, and I believe he's coming out for the coin toss. And I'm really anxious to see how well he's doing because he's made some trips recently, and I don't think the doctors would have let him out of his home if his cancer recovery was not going well. So thumbs up to Jim Kelly.
I know I'm going to date myself here, but I just want to share this with you. So growing up as you know, a youngster in Miami, my dad played for the University of Miami, so I grew up a big Miami Hurricane fan. And I used to go to the dentist that was the dentist for the Canes.
Hmm.
And it was, no pun intended, it was pulling teeth to get me to the dentist office. I just couldn't stand. And who does? Who really? I like the cleaning, but, you know, I don't like the whole picking, right? So it was really a big deal. I mean, my mom had to bribe me with, like, Hot Wheel cars and all kinds of crazy stuff to get me to go to the dentist. Well, whenever Jim Kelly had his appointment, the dentist would call my mom and say, Jim Kelly, this is his appointment. I'm going to put Anita for the same time. So then my mom would say, all right, Anita, we've got to go to the dentist. Guess who's going to be there? Jim Kelly.
Oh,
and
wow.
At that point, he was the starting quarterback for the Canes. And I was just like, yeah. I mean, so that the only way that my mom, I told him this story years ago. The only way that my mom could get me to go to the dentist during that time was when Jim Kelly and I had the same appointment at the dentist.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I told him that story years ago.
And it's a truth.
And I'd sit there in the waiting room and we'd talk football. And he was just, and this is when he was in college. I mean, he was just, he was my hero. I mean, it was really a big deal for me, you know.
Well, you know, it's funny, Anita, because when Kelly was with the Red Gun, with the Bills, and I remember meeting him the week of the Super Bowl playing the Giants, and I couldn't believe how humble he was, to be perfectly frank with you. And this was a guy who at that time, he was at the top of his game.
Mm-hmm.
He was such a real guy that I was like, really taken back by it. Because, you know, all you heard about was the Red Gun and Jim Kelly's putting up all these yards. He was a big timer in the USFL, right? Got huge money to go to the Bill. And it was like he was just such a regular guy. Immediately you had to root for him. You had to. And then, of course, you know, his family, the child and everything else and all of those issues. You cannot help but root for Jim Kelly. So it's a good story that you tell.
201-939-4513. Let's try to rip through these calls before we have to sign off in about 6 minutes. We go to Juan calling in from Miami. Juan, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. You're on with Paul Dottino and Anita Marks. Welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
I have a quick question on the linebacking core. Now that Beeson, you know, he's out with the foot and the rookie stepped in, how are the other two guys, the other two positions, how are they faring? And if the rookie does play well during the preseason, do they see Beast and maybe moving somewhere else to accommodate the rookie being in there?
Well, this is a domino effect. Jameel McClain is moving from the outside to the inside while Beeson's unable to practice. And then Devon Kennard, the rookie you're referring to, fifth-round pick out of USC, has stepped into that outside spot. Now, he would be the third-string middle linebacker if they needed to go that way. But for the time being, the starters, at least the anticipated starters, week one against Detroit, are going to be Jaquan Williams, I believe, with McClain on the outside and John Beeson in the middle. If you had to line them up today and play week number one, that would be the way, medically speaking, if Beeson was cleared, the Giants would go.
Sounds good.
Okay?
All righty.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Let's go to Rich. Rich. Welcome in. How you doing today?
How are you? I was just wondering, like, back in, like, last year and during the middle of the year, there was an Adrian Peterson trade, and I was wondering if you guys would do that now. I believe it was the second round, the fifth round, Justin Tuck and David Wilson.
One more time, Rich. I'm sorry. Tee that up for us again.
Last year there was a Adrian Peterson trade proposal.
By who?
I heard that.
I'm sorry. I'm not even going to entertain that because that's a fantasy football question. There was no way that those guys in reality were going to be traded.
Who? What was right. Rich? What was the rumor? I'm just curious. What was the rumor now?
I heard that there's a trade rumor that we would get Adrian Peterson for a second round, a fifth round, David Wilson, and Justin Tuck.
Well, let me just say one thing to you, okay? Justin Tuck's contract ran out at the end of the season. He was going to be a free agent anyway. And then you've got salary cap implications. You know what? You're better off not paying attention to those things when people whisper them to you, okay? Appreciate the phone call. Thanks.
Real quick, for me, I'm really intrigued by the tight end position. That's what I'm going to be looking at on Sunday night.
Yeah.
That battle.
No doubt.
That's going on. I'm excited to see. This is kind of going to be our first taste for Rashad Jennings, who I believe is going to be the starting running back regular season game one. I'm going to anticipate a 1-2 punch with him and Andre Williams this season. I'm excited for that.
Hillis, too.
Out of all the positions on the offense, I'm more excited about what's going on in that backfield than I am anywhere else. So defense-wise, I know we talked offensively. Defensively, what are you going to be looking for on Sunday?
Well, again, I'm interested in the pass rush from the outside. You know, what do those guys look like when they mix and match those four defensive ends? And are the DTs, who I think all of us believe are stout enough to hold up against the run, even without Linval Joseph here any longer. Now he's a Minnesota Viking, as we know, via free agency. I still believe that the Giants have enough inside to hold up against the run. And so we do want to see that, but I kind of think I already know that answer.
Okay.
Hey, I wanted to ask you a question. We were talking earlier.
Look, we're out of time. I'm kidding. Go ahead. What's your? I got you. You really believed me. Anyway.
I did. We were talking about the receivers before, and I'm curious. How do you feel about this battle between Jernigan and Holiday? Because people keep telling me, "Oh, Jernigan produced the last 3 weeks of last season when Cruz was out of the lineup." My problem with that, Anita, is that he was playing the slot, which was Cruz's position. Jernigan does not play well on the outside, and quite frankly, he doesn't give you anything in the return game. So I'm not as high on Jarrell Jernigan as some other people are. And yet, people keep going back to those games and throwing that in my face and saying, well, he's got to be one of the five receivers on this team.
So you don't think Jernigan makes this roster?
I think
Who drafted him again?
Yeah.
I
think he's on the bubble.
No way.
Okay. I was curious as to your take. Because Coach says that Holiday has to produce.
How many years was Ramsey's Barkley?
I know.
Coach
says, though, that Holiday has to be a receiver if he's going to make the team. So his problem right now is the hammy. But if Holiday is going to be the elite punt returner that we know he can be on this team. He's going to have to be a receiver and beat out Jernigan as a receiver.
All right, let's do this. How many receivers do they keep?
Five.
Six? Oh, five.
I think five. I could be wrong, but I think five.
Okay. So, Cruz.
Randall.
Beckham.
I think Mario.
Really?
I do. I think he's going to be okay. I could be wrong. I'm not a doctor.
Okay.
I think Eli hopes Mario's okay, too.
And then you think it comes down to Jernigan and Holiday?
I do. And I'm not sold right now on either one of them.
But Holiday has the kind of, no pun intended, one leg up because of his special team skills.
Dynamic punt return skills.
Right. So if they keep six, though, then you think that...
If they keep six, you know... I'll tell you what, this kid, Sue Harris, who a lot of the writers seem to like, he's done a few things in camp. He looks polished. He's trying to make a bid. If he has a really good preseason, maybe he sneaks into the sixth spot if they have a sixth spot available. I'm just saying, these are the kind of things that, you know, we look at when we watch the preseason. This is why I tell people preseason games are a big deal to me. I eat this stuff up.
Because of the hamstring issues that we're seeing with Odell Beckham Jr., because of the knee issue with Mario Manningham, you're still saying five, not six.
Well, again, we're still five preseason games away from making that call. If these things continue to linger in another month, you may have to keep six.
Exactly.
You may not have a choice.
Right.
But then that means maybe one less guy in the backfield. Maybe it means one less guy in the secondary. Maybe it means one less guy in the D-line. You're going to have to rob Peter to pay Paul if you're going to go six receivers.
All right, so
you're certainly not going to be able to keep three quarterbacks.
As we sign off, as I said, today our schedule, our itinerary, is that players are available around 11:15. Then practice starts. Hopefully the weather cooperates. If it does not, they're going to take it inside.
Yeah,
we'll have 1:20. We'll have those interviews for you up on Giants.com a little bit later on this afternoon. So please make sure you stay tuned for that. And also, there is an MSG show tonight. Are you on that? Or
no, that's Bob and Carl Banks, I believe.
Okay. So Bob, Papa, Carl Banks later on tonight, the MSG show, which is all about the Giants training camp.
MSG Plus.
There you go. On MSG Plus. And that kicks off at, what, 6 o'clock,
6
right?
o'clock.
6 p.m. Eastern time. So make sure you tune into that. And then I believe... Are you back on tomorrow, or is it John and Lance tomorrow?
No, I think it's John and Lance tomorrow.
So, and John and Lance will be back here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Friday morning. Anything else before we sign off?
I think it's time to go.
Okay. Everybody, have a great day.